Thank you, David. I'm going to ask you if we'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to start there in verse 19 and 20. A little different passage for me this morning, or different message, and I'm not just taking a text and preaching through it, but for the next 4 weeks, I want to talk about discipleship, defining discipleship. And, you know, I preach these messages because of my great alarm for the condition of the church today. The condition of the church, and not only the church as a whole, but also I believe our church is a pretty good picture of the church as a whole. We have a pretty good dissection of the entire church, and I'm alarmed. Last couple of Sundays, Sunday 2 weeks ago, I preached out of James chapter 1 about a religion that would deceive you. That you would think that you were a religious person, and the word is used in there, and it's about being a God worshiper. That your religion would deceive you, though, if it just didn't have life to it. James chapter 1. And then last week I preached from Matthew chapter 7 about there only being two ways, one leading to destruction, one leading to eternal life. And sometimes we want to kind of straddle the fence and hold on to maybe there's a third way, our way. But the truth is there's God's way, and that's the only way to eternal life, and the other leads to destruction. Well, this morning I want to begin a series that started out as a sermon, but I thought maybe it'd keep you here too long, so I just made it into a four sermons, all dealing with discipleship. And, you know, I'm alarmed at the condition of the church and just some of those conditions. Let me tell you, those who attend, and I know statistics, and you can take them, read them however you want to read them, but George Barna surveyed those who attended church, and only 6% of those that actually attended church on a Sunday morning actually opened the Word during the rest of the week. Now, he didn't survey our church, but and I would hope it'd be higher than that, but I'm alarmed that it might not be. That those who profess Christ, they attend worship, and they worship the Lord with their mouth, and but yet during the week they didn't open God's Word to study and to learn of God anymore. And that's alarming. Since we're a people of the book and a people of the word, that's alarming. It's alarming that the statistic is that it takes 100 professing Christians to win one person, to win one lost person to the Lord. That's alarming. And that statistic is getting worse and worse. And so the very purpose that we are as a church is to make disciples. But yet I'm alarmed because that's getting worse and worse. I'm alarmed that the church is getting harder and harder to distinguish between the church and the world. I'm alarmed by that. You know, as you study and as you pour out over God's Word, and as you know, you really can't point fingers at the issue, and so, you know, one finger's pointed to church leadership, not teaching discipleship. When someone's won to the Lord and not following through and teaching God's Word and teaching discipleship. And so, you know, I suppose taking my fault in that, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple. I'm going to give you the four sermon topics, and you can choose which ones you want to come to. And you know, this morning you don't have a choice if you're here. I suppose you can get up and leave, but I might call you back in. No, I'm just kidding. This morning I want to talk about a disciple must first be a believer. Second, next week I want to talk about a disciple must be a learner, a student of the one he's following. Third, I want to talk about a disciple must be a follower. You can say you're a disciple of someone, but if you're not adhering to the teachings of that individual, if you're not following in the purposes of that teacher, then you're not a disciple of that person or thing. And I want to give you a secular definition of what it means to be a disciple as well. So a believer, disciple must be a believer, disciple must be a learner, a disciple must be a follower. With respect to God's Word, a discipler must be a disciple maker. In other words, if we say that we are a disciple of Christ and God has given us one purpose, and that's to make disciples, then we must also be a disciple maker. So that's the next 4 weeks, unless God returns and somebody else can finish the message. But I'm going to be gone. That's just a joke. I'm just kidding y'all. Y'all loosen up. It's not going to be that bad. Loosen up. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says this, of the church. This is the instruction of the church. To the church. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples. Let me give you a definition. If you go to dictionary.com, this is a secular definition of a disciple. Not a disciple of Christ, just a disciple of a person or thing. If you're a follower or adhere to a political view, then you're a disciple of that political view, possibly. A student, a learner, a follower. Here's dictionary.com, a secular definition of a disciple. I'm going to give you 3 parts to it. One, it's a person who is a pupil or an adherent of the doctrines of another. Second, a disciple is one who embraces and assists in spreading the teachings of another. And third, it's any follower of another person. And so that's a secular definition of what it means to be a disciple. A person can be a disciple of many different or even different philosophies. If you study or follow after the teachings of another, you would be considered a disciple of that person or that philosophy. You could be a disciple of different things like political views or economic ideas. You could be a disciple of scientific models. You could be a disciple, even as it relates this morning, of different religious beliefs or different religious people. You could be a disciple of that person. Discipleship, it's the process involved in being a disciple of the person. So by secular definition of what it means to be a disciple, it's someone, they must be a believer of that person or thing. They must be a learner or a student of that person or thing. They must be a follower or an adherent to that person or thing. And they must be a promoter of that particular person or thing. My goal this morning is to define the discipleship process. My goal over the next 4 weeks is I won't be all exhaustive. Discipleship is a lifelong process. But I just want to focus in on 4 areas of engaging your life in the process of discipleship. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So Christian discipleship will be the topic for the next 4 weeks. Listen, discipleship is the life-transforming process of those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a life-transformational process. Discipleship is. Listen, the very word in the Greek language, it means to be a disciple of one, in particular of Christ Jesus. It means to follow His precepts and instructions. It means to make other disciples and to teach or to instruct. You know, it's hard to say that we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ when we do not adhere to His Word. The claims of being a disciple but not adhering to His words, that's foolishness. Doesn't even make logical sense to say we're a follower of Jesus Christ, but we have no idea what His Word says, and much less we're not going to live according to His Word. The very word means to be a disciple of one, specifically of Jesus Christ. In the Greek language of the Scripture, it means to be a learner, a pupil, or a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, by definition, Christian discipleship, once again, Christian discipleship is the life-transforming process of becoming like Jesus Christ. Christian discipleship is the life-transforming process of becoming like Jesus Christ. I think we would all agree this morning, I hope we would, or we're off in several areas, but we would agree that once we become a Christian, our goal is to become more like Christ. That would be our goal. Very simply put, once we become a Christian, our desire should be to become more like Christ. We're saved from our old nature that's more like ourself and selfish. We're saved from that old nature and given a new nature, a nature that's free from and victorious over sin. And so our goal and purpose should be to become more like Christ until He comes or until we see Him face to face. So our goal is to become more like Christ. Christian discipleship is the transforming process of becoming more like Christ. This morning I want to focus in on the fact that as an individual who is engaged in Christian discipleship, they must be a believer. They must be a believer. Now, let me say a couple of things before I get into the controversy here. And let me say this, that a person who wishes to become a disciple of Christ must become a believer in Christ. James 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So the very basics, the very beginning, the very elementary foundational truth is that if you want to become a disciple of Christ, you must become a believer of Christ. Now, it is possible to know about God. It is possible to know about Christ and even believe in the identity of both of them and not be a believer. You say, "Pastor, how is it possible to know God and to know Jesus and to believe in both of them? And how is it possible not to be a believer?" Well, you just don't have to submit to His authority. Or you don't just have to, you don't have to believe in Him for your life. Listen to, I'm going to read part of James later, but listen to James chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Listen, they know God. They know who God is. They know who the Son of God is. In fact, the demonic of the Gadarenes said, "You know, what business do you have with us?" They recognized Jesus as the Son of God. They trembled at that. So they knew about God. They just didn't know Him as Savior of their life. We don't have to submit to His authority. Listen, it's possible to study about the historical Jesus and not to submit to His authority and make Him Lord of your life. It's possible. So, a person who wishes to become a disciple of Christ must become a believer. That is the foundational principle. That is where we start, by being a disciple of Christ. I want to read for you. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. To become a believer, it's just not necessarily by our choice. Now, I'm going to be careful here. I believe that Jesus draws all men unto Himself. But I believe that only some choose. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. In other words, a believer is called by the Holy Spirit, and then confession is made unto salvation. Look with me, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and following. It says, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who was rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now I want to stop there. It's sufficient for this morning. I believe that when the Word of God is preached or proclaimed, or you might read the Word of God, I believe it is the Holy Spirit who calls you unto salvation. That's why some people say, Pastor, I know I need to be saved, I'm dealing with that, but I'm just going to deal with that later. I'm not going to deal with it right now. I believe that's very dangerous territory, and that's appealing greater on God's grace that you're going to have another opportunity to respond. I do believe that all men, when they hear the gospel, or at some point they're called. The Bible says, if the Son of Man be lifted up, then He would draw all men unto Himself. So I believe that we're called. But I believe at that point in time, confession must be made unto salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. An individual who is engaged in Christian discipleship must be a believer. It's pointless for someone to say, I want to grow in the Lord, or I want to be discipled of the Lord, but never yet submit themselves to the Lordship of Christ and to His authority in your life. So a very foundational principle, elementary principle, is the salvation of an individual. And so they must be a believer. You say, Pastor, why are you making a big deal about that? Listen, there is a controversy today over whether a person can be a believer without being a disciple of Christ. It doesn't even sound right to me to even make the statement, but that's the controversy. The controversy is, can a person be a believer but not move on into discipleship? Now, that doesn't even make sense to me, but let me tell you what the whole matter is over. You see, we've got a problem in what we call the Christian church today. And the problem is we have so many people that are professing to be Christians, but yet there's no obedience to go along with that. So I don't care where you look with this argument. Bottom line, you're going to find that the argument or the controversy is because we're trying to save faith. We're trying to say we're filled with churches that have believers, but they've just not committed themselves to become disciples. Now, that doesn't even make sense to me. I don't know. But let me bring it home to our church. You know, this is for those that say, Pastor, quit apologizing, just preach it. This is just to bring it home. We have some 1,700 to 1,800 people on these church rolls, on Bethel's church rolls. I don't have a clue who some of them are. I've never met some of them. The FBI can't find some of them. I'm telling you. 1,700 to 1,800 people who have submitted themselves, said they are born again believers, say they've been baptized by submersion. You can't find them. And if I start mentioning a tithing or anything like that, it's going to get less and less that I can find. You see, and if I look at the statistics of winning people to Christ, now remember, we've been given the task as a church. We're the only organization on the face of the planet that's been given the task of making disciples. If I were to look at the statistics of how many it takes of professing Bethel Baptist Christians to win one person to the Lord, you see why I say we're a pretty good picture of those larger statistics. I'm alarmed by that. And if I were to take a survey, and I'm not going to do that, but if I were to take a survey of how many people opened their Bibles this past week, you see why I would have trouble with saying that we're born again believers, but we have nothing to do with God outside of Sunday mornings, and I have trouble with that. Now, is it possible to know about Jesus and even study about Jesus without being a believer? I believe so. Let me ask you, this is the question. Here's 4 points I've talked about. You must be a believer. Here's a question for us. Can you be a believer without being a disciple? Now, that's the controversial question. Can you be a believer without being a disciple? Let me read. I believe James addresses this subject matter. James chapter 2, verses 14 and following. He says this. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. In other words, James is kind of saying this. If I meet Jesus, I'm going to meet him with my faith and I'm going to meet him with my works. But if you meet Jesus, you're going to meet him just by your faith. And James says, I'm going to tell you that faith is dead. He knows it's dead because it has no evidence outside. And I don't want, boy, surely I don't want you to go away from here saying, oh, the preacher's preaching about works-based salvation. I'm not at all. Jesus says you'll just be known by your works. You'll be known. They'll know that you know me by your works. I'm going to read that passage in a moment. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You know what James is saying? James is saying, I'm not sure you even want to talk about the difference between faith and works. And he said, I'm not sure you even want to know that there is a difference between your dead faith and a faith that lives and a faith that works. He said, I'm not sure you want to know the difference. John 14, 21 says this, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He who has my commandments and keeps them. 1 John 2:3 says this, Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But let's agree on this one thing. I want to go back to the main point. Now, here's the main point. Before you can start a life transformational process of becoming a disciple of Christ, you must become a believer. The controversy is not about being a believer, being a part of discipleship. The controversy is whether you have to be a disciple to be a believer. That's where the controversy is. And so I want us to at least agree on the fact, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you must be born again. You must be a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. However you come down on that last question, can you be a believer without being a disciple? One, I would hope nobody would say to me verbally, Pastor, I want to be a believer, but I don't want to be a disciple. I don't want you, please don't say that to me verbally. I may go off on you or something, you know. Because what you're saying is, Pastor, I really want to be saved, but I really don't want it to cost me anything. Pastor, I really want to be a part of the body of Christ, but I really don't want to add anything to it. So please don't say that. But if you are a believer without being a disciple, you are at best a disobedient one. Now let me the dangers of being a believer without engaging in the discipleship process is an atrocity. Let's just say you can be a believer without being a disciple. I believe at best, though, we're a disobedient believer. Let me tell you why I think that. If it's possible to be a believer without being a disciple, we just need to repent. But if we're content on that position, we need to be prepared to see Jesus or meet God face to face in a disobedient state. The reason why I say that is because if you're a believer and not a disciple, it's a sin against God. Let me just tell you why I say that. I read this morning Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, when he says to go. He says, to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're at best disobedient to the command that God has given to you. You're at best sinning not against God, but also the Son. The Son says, the Father sent me, so send I you. And so at best, you're disobedient to the Son. And you may be a believer, but yet you're sinning against God the Father and God the Son. I believe it goes a step further. You're sinning against the blood of Christ that has redeemed us and or redeemed you, and you're born again and washed white as snow by the blood of God. You're at best sinning against the blood of Christ. If you're a believer and not engaged in discipleship, if that's possible, you're at best sinning against the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has been given to us and placed inside of us as an inheritance for what is to come, but the Holy Spirit has been placed inside of us and gifted us for the edifying of the church, for the building up of the church. So the Holy Spirit has been given to you so that you might be gifted, not for your benefit, but for the benefit of the church. And so if you are claiming to be a believer without being a disciple, you're sinning against God, against His purposes. You're sinning against the Son, against His blood. You're sinning against the Holy Spirit who's been given into you. And last, you're sinning against the church, the bride of Christ. Let me read for you Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, it begins talking about the individual believer because of who you are in Christ. You've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that there it is, to become more like Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up, that's discipleship, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. That's where the whole church, the bride of Christ, the obedient bride of Christ, every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Listen, that's obedience in your discipleship. Causes growth of the body, I believe numerically and spiritually. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so let's just say you're going to fall on the truth that you can be a believer without being a disciple. You're at best sinning against God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the bride of Christ. And that's how you'll meet Jesus face to face. At best a believer, but yet disobedient. And I do believe 1 Corinthians addressed and said, we'll be tried by fire and everything. All of our works will be consumed. Those works have not been done in Christ, and we will stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so I'm giving a little bit there. But I hope anybody wouldn't say, well, Pastor, I'm just okay with being a believer. I don't want to do anything. I don't want it to affect my life in any way. I believe we're in trouble there. And so let me conclude with this. This last question possibly for our lives and for the next 3 weeks is this. Am I a believer who wants to be a disciple? Am I a believer who wants to be a disciple? We're going to talk about being a learner, being a follower, being a disciple maker. And so am I a believer who wants to be a disciple? Listen, if you want to be a believer and you want to be a disciple, then you must engage yourself in the life transformational or transforming process of learning, following, and discipling. Let me just close with an invitation. I know time is gone. Let me close with this invitation. You know, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, elementary truth is you must be a believer. Let's just say you realize this morning you've never accepted Christ, made Him Lord of your life, made Him Savior, Lord of your life. Then the Holy Spirit may be drawing you under that, and that may be a decision you need to make this morning. Listen, maybe you're a believer. And the truth is, you haven't grown one mark since becoming a believer. then maybe you just need to repent and confess that we've sinned against God, we've sinned against the Son, we've sinned against the Holy Spirit that's been planted into our lives, and we need to confess we've sinned against the bride of Christ and the body that God has placed us in. Because this church depends on you being a disciple, a faithful disciple and a follower of Christ. This church depends on it. Right here. And so at best, the invitation is we may need to confess that we've not been the disciple. I'm down front. This altar's open. You can do business with that. You can do business with yourself in the pew with God as well. And the difference will be made tomorrow and the next day and the next. So you can do business right where you're at, unless the Holy Spirit leads. And then the third invitation is this. Pastor, I'm going to pray with you for the condition of the church. Pastor, I'm going to pray with you for the condition of America. Lord, I'm going to pray, Pastor, I'm going to pray with you that the Lord would revive the church. Pastor, I'm going to be engaged in making disciples, making a difference. And so there's a challenge for you this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, every head bowed, every eye closed.